torturing people. That does it for today's broadcast, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Berkshire, who took produce John Hamilton, Elizabeth Presser, Matea, Anjali Kamat, Jay Babalota, Jeffrey Hagerman, and Nicole Salazar. I want to welcome little Estrella Dixon Carrion into the world, the new little daughter of our former producer, Maria Carrion, who's now in Spain with her family. Congratulations to Maria and Kwame, and to Gabriela as well. That does it for our broadcast. You can go to our website at democracynow.org. Special thanks to Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Andrew Quinn, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. The time is just about 6 o'clock. That means, once again, it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And if you can tell how happy I am right now, my whole outlook on life has been changed, turned around, almost like I've seen religion in a sense, or gotten a big dose of caffeine. But the air conditioning is fixed, finally, after many months of sweltering temperatures here in the studio. Many thanks to our general manager, Isabel, who apparently knocked some heads over at the physical plant, and they found the clog in the pipe, and it's all fixed now, and we can breathe and hopefully inject some life back into this place, because, you know, when it's 95 degrees, you kind of slow down a little bit. I learned that when I was down in Cuba. You basically just don't want to do very much of anything, and you move very slowly. And maybe you talk slowly, too, and maybe your mind doesn't think quite as quickly as it should. But now my mind is racing, and I just want to cover all these things and talk about all these different items and agendas and things. I want to build something, too. I'm going to construct something while I'm talking because, it's, you know, my hands aren't doing anything while my mouth is moving, so I might as well put everything to use. I'm sure there's more I could be doing as well. I'm going to think about it. All right. This is our 30th anniversary. WUSB is 30 years old. We're approaching middle age, I guess. But it's just incredible to think about this, that we've been around on these airwaves since 1977. And I actually, that's when I first walked in the door. Then I asked somebody to open the door, and I walked through the door, through the open door. And I was a freshman at college then. And the place was brand new. It wasn't actually brand new. The station had actually been here before as an AM carrier current that only broadcast to the dormitories. But the actual FM license, that was brand spanking new. And I got to tell you, it just completely made college worthwhile. If it wasn't for this place, first of all, I don't think I would have lasted in college because there were just so many elements about it that rubbed me the wrong way. But this place allowed me an outlet, a place to go to express myself in all sorts of different ways, whether it be by playing music or just rapping on the air or meeting other people, learning so many other things. And the very fact that it survived all this time for 30 years and still does that to this day, that is truly an incredible accomplishment. And also a bit bittersweet because there are so many other outlets that have since faded away, whether it be CW Post, Sacred Heart, Southampton University. There are just so many I could name. the radio stations simply were taken over. You know what? Every single one of them was taken over by NPR. It's pretty funny. There are other ones, obviously, that still survive to this day. Our friends over at WPKN in Bridgeport, they're still going strong, and WFMU out there in New Jersey. But there are so far fewer than there were, and it's just sad to think that people out there that might have a future of some sort, or just a talent to do something in radio, won't get the opportunity. Oh yeah, they can broadcast from their computers onto the internet and hope that somebody finds them, but there's no substitute for an actual FM signal or AM signal going out over the airwaves that somebody driving in their car can just pick up. And that's something. Every single car has a radio, except for the one I used to own, but long story. The point is, you can reach many, many people through traditional broadcasting means. And that's something that has been dying in non-commercial radio and has also been dying in commercial radio as radio stations are taken over one by one by mega corporations that just program the same thing, don't even have live people anymore. It's just one big music box. And then they wonder why less people are listening to their programs, which are basically the same thing you can do on an iPod, simply mixing up some music. Okay, you can't play commercials on an iPod, not yet anyway. So, yeah, people don't listen because there's nothing new. Place like this, though, there's always something new. In fact, we have a brand new program coming up at 7. And all sorts of new ideas, controversy, and a forum for listeners to speak as well. And that's just this 1 hour. Every single hour there's something different here at this place, and has been for 30 years, and it's just incredible. I did a little digging in my own personal archives, because one of the best things I ever did was get cassette copies of so many of the old programs that I used to do, Brain Damage being one of them. And that allowed me to also capture a bit of the history of the radio station as well. And I don't know if this has survived, if it's even in the station. I was looking on the DigiCart, which is our sort of modern-day cart machine. We used to have these little devices that were known as carts that would play promos or IDs or things like that. Now it's all on a computerized system, but it's harder to find. You can't simply just scan a rack of carts. You have to go through directories and things. I didn't see this. But basically, many years ago, I think this might even have been the very beginning of the FM days. We had what was known as the Sea Shanty ID, where a bunch of... it might have just been two people overdubbed over and over again to make it sound like a lot of people. But basically, a great Sea Shanty-type song having to do with WUSB. I believe Mike Girardo was behind it, and some other people at WUSB back then in the 70s. Let's take a listen to what an ID, a legal ID, a station ID, used to sound like back in the 1970s.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way, hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned down the dial. Way, hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile. Way, hey, 90.1. I waited for a legal ID. Way, hey, 90.1. The DJ said WUSB. Way, hey, 90.1. They start each day with the rising sun. Way, hey, 90.1. Don't ever finish till after day is done. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you want good music to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you like the sounds, do take a look. Way, hey, 90.1. At WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, hey, hey. Okay, now that kind of spirit, I challenge people to find that kind of spirit in radio today. But back then, it was everywhere. It's still here, but we haven't done any sea shanties lately. I'd like to hear a couple more of those on the air, and just other creative things as well. But wow, it was quite a place to be in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, and even today. And we have the same equipment, too. It still works. Amazing. I have something else, too. We constructed this USB memory. I'm not sure if there are other memories coming, but they hopefully will be, because there are so many of them, so many people here that have been through so much over the decades. And this is something that, we're just going to play the whole piece. We're just going to play the whole produced piece here that basically explains what's going on. And this goes back to a radio program I used to do back in 1981 with Mike Juhas, known as the Voice of Long Island. This has not yet appeared anywhere on the internet, so these shows are still in the process of being digitized. And there were just so many cool things going on. This, however, this was one of those nights where things got a little out of hand, and that happens. That happens in radio, where you just kind of doing your thing, and then one thing leads to another, and before you know it, it's mass pandemonium and hysteria. And we're all adults here, but we don't always act like adults. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. This particular circumstance happened several hours into the show, maybe a couple hours into the show. And it was tradition that we always would order a pizza and get things to drink. And apparently what had happened in that particular case was that we were making sounds of thunder and lightning by banging, I don't know how we made sounds of lightning. I guess we were flashing the lights on and off and banging the file cabinet to make the sound of thunder. And I made the mistake of saying the only thing we're missing is the rain. And that's when the ice cubes from the soda started to fly around the studio. In this particular clip, this is the famous incident where my co-host Mike Juhas accidentally let the S-bomb go out over the air, and we've censored that out because audiences today are much more sensitive than audiences were back in 1981. So you can just imagine what might have happened at the moment that the ice cube was dropped down his back and he couldn't help himself, and I don't think any one of us could have either. Let's take a listen, go back in time to a memory from 1981.
WUSB is celebrating 30 years on the FM dial. Here is a WUSB memory.
April 4, 1981. A normal late-night broadcast of The Voice of Long Island with Mike Juhas, Eric Corley, Frank Burgert, and Nancy Belushi, which somehow turned into a spontaneous ice fight on the air.
I'm getting it fixed tomorrow.
Answer the door, would you please, Frank?
Wait a sec, we don't have a doorbell.
Come in!
Billy?
Open the door. Oh, it's Nancy!
Oh, Nancy!
Come on in. Oh, geez, were you trying to sleep?
You were in the other studio?
Shut that door.
Thank you. Nancy, no, you just rang our doorbell. Where is our doorbell? We don't have one. She doesn't know either. Mike, how do you explain this?
It just happened, you know, I just come in, so I gotta ring the doorbell, so it just was there.
But where is the door?
It's right outside.
It's a doorbell outside? How long has the doorbell been outside? I've never seen it. Is there a doorbell out there, Frank?
It's right next to the post box.
The post box? We don't have a post box. Am I going crazy?
To the right of the jukebox.
You've gone
crazy. This is the Twilight Zone.
Coming to take you away, ho-ho.
It's next to the strobe lights.
I go away myself before they take me.
Oh, now look what you did to Frank. Oh,
was
boy.
Was I hallucinating or was there, like, lightning before? Was it...
Did you hear thunder, too?
Yeah, we had the works.
Really,
we had everything except rain. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Ow! Ice storm. Burn it! Burn it!
You should have thrown it at him that hard.
Sorry.
I mean, it can hurt.
But look, you're getting ice all over.
That reminds me of something. You know what's been going on campus recently that's been really fascinating? It's going on across the country. You've heard about this murder game, haven't you?
With darts.
Darts.
Rubber darts.
I hear people in the halls, you know, walking to classes and everything, saying that they have to kill somebody before tomorrow night. And it's the funniest thing, just hearing people talk like this. You know, these girls who you think wouldn't hurt somebody, these guys who don't look like, you know, hitmen. And I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to keep on talking. It boggles the mind how...
Frank, leave your pants on.
How'd you get an ice cube down there anyway?
But very good, Nancy.
But it seems the whole thing started in Florida or something, and it's just been moving across the country, and Stony Brook's no exception. And a lot of people out here are playing the game.
It's water by the time you get it out, Frank.
It's an interesting game. It's kind of a, I guess you'd call it a violent game, because it involves people getting shot, even though they're not really being hurt, but it's sort of...
Oh,
sort of practice for life.
No, no.
Why don't you just go outside until you control and get yourself under? Yeah, go out there. And, okay. Now, is he ready to come back in? Okay. Why don't we bring him back in? All right, Mike. Are you quite?
Yeah. It melted. It didn't melt.
Control of yourself.
Ice cube fights in the radio.
This is silly. This is
I didn't
very
say
silly.
What I thought I said.
Can I get back to the topic I was talking about? This has gotten too... I'm trying to hold a logical discussion here, and chaos is abounding around me. Are you quite finished?
I got an ice cube dropped down my back while I was on mic.
Wait, that is not fair, Frank.
No, okay,
I don't know how the hell you got behind me like that.
careful equipment.
Oh my God. I thought you were my friend. How could you do something like that? It just so happens, folks, that I don't care. Oh my God. They're melting. All right, let me tell you something.
Hailstorm.
Let me tell you folks something. I've gotten...
You were the one who said... You were the one who said, rain.
I know I am. I'm sorry I said that, but... I've been a lot wetter than this.
Stay tuned to WUSB for more memories as we celebrate 30 years on the FM dial.
Wow, it's like it was yesterday, 1981, in this very room that I'm sitting in now. I can remember that ice fight and the consequences that followed. Wow. So sometimes we lose it here. Crazy things happen. I can think of dozens of situations like that. I'm sure you'll be hearing all kinds of stories as the year progresses. Very special anniversary for us, the 30th anniversary. And there's something else I found from that same period of time, 1981. It's amazing to think that that the people who go to school here now weren't even born back when this radio was going out over the air. But I think it speaks to our tradition and how it's able to be passed on from generation to generation, literally, over the years. What we used to do, we used to celebrate the anniversary in various ways. June 27th, 1977, that's the day we actually went on the air. So what we would do in the early years to celebrate that is come up with a musical collage. And we'd play the musical collage constantly throughout the day, once an hour, once every couple of hours, and encourage people to write in. That's when people used to write letters and use the mail, and send us as many answers as they possibly could. And I'm curious how many people today would be able to do this. Now, keep in mind, this is music from 1981, and prior to that, there are some other bits in there. But it was challenging. It was difficult. It was hard for the people to even put it together. They couldn't even get them all right. And just putting a collage like this together in the first place is also quite a challenge. So we're going to play the musical collage from 1981, which is a tradition we used to have here at this radio station. I don't know when it stopped. But I'd like to see it start again. See how many of these musical bits in the next 3 minutes or so you can identify.
Break.
skeletons.
Get your pineapple! This is the title track of the latest album.
Hey, text Logan on Back Porch Bluegrass.
Thank you.
Okay. The 1981 musical collage here at WUSB. And I know quite a few of those, actually. They come back, and I remember some of them, but I'm curious how many listeners out there recognize some of those little clips of audio. Wow. So that's basically some of the 30 years that has happened here in these walls, between these walls. And hopefully there'll be many more years. And hopefully the temperature will stay pleasant like it is now. Okay, so now we have to catapult ourselves back to the present. Back to, 2007? Is that possible? Wow, I just cannot believe it. But yeah, it's a different world. People are more glum. And a lot of evil things are going on in the world that we seem to be fixated with. And I guess, you know, if you look around, you would expect things to have changed quite a bit more than they actually have. I mean, I'm sitting in the same basic room that I was sitting in 30 years ago. Hasn't changed very much. Campus has grown a bit. A lot of the trees are gone that used to be here. A lot of the trees on Long Island are gone that used to be here. All sorts of other things have disappeared as well. But the progress, well, I suppose computers have simply exploded and that kind of progress is everywhere. But there's no flying cars. There's no missions to Mars. There's no cures for all the diseases that we still seem to have. So in some ways, yeah, we've moved forward. Other ways, we haven't really done a whole lot. So maybe we should check in another 30 years and see if we've done any better. Okay, let's take a quick look at what's going on in the world. As you've probably heard, madness has broken out again. And all sorts of potential terrorist attacks taking place. Tomorrow is July 4th, and New York City is all abuzz with security restrictions and things known as Viper teams going through the streets, being vigilant. Everyone must be vigilant. Everyone must be looking to their neighbors and reporting anything suspicious. Now, you probably heard this story. A Jeep Cherokee trailing a cascade of flames rammed into Glasgow Airport on Saturday. Actually, you know, this qualifies, doesn't it? Jeep Cherokee trailing a cascade of flames ramming into the terminal? Yeah, it does. Go for it. Yes, it's another edition of SUVs in the News. And this certainly did make the news. An SUV rammed into Glasgow Airport, shattering glass doors just yards from passengers lined up at the check-in counters. Police linked the crash to two terror plots in London. Both suspects were arrested at the airport. One, his body engulfed in flames as police pulled him from the still-burning vehicle, was hospitalized, later to be criticized. The attack comes a day after police foiled a car bomb plot in central London, discovering explosives packed into a couple of non-SUVs. Now, I looked at this story, And I realized that, you know, guys, this is nothing. This is nothing. We get this kind of thing every day. That's right. When SUVs are involved, you can expect all sorts of antics. And literally moments before coming to the station, actually, only a few minutes ago, actually, I did a little scan to see what kind of stories might have happened in the past few days involving SUVs and abnormal behavior. An Ohio University student died after being struck by a sport utility vehicle and knocked into a river while walking on a bridge, with authorities unaware of his involvement in the crash until his body was recovered about 18 hours later. Abhishek Singh, a graduate student from Fazabad, India, was walking on the sidewalk portion of the bridge about 11:30 p.m. on Saturday night when the SUV ran a traffic light and collided with a car. The SUV spun onto the sidewalk, striking Singh and hurling him over a rail and into the Hocking River. Witnesses were unaware that a pedestrian had been struck. The bridge has lights, but not directly in the area of the accident. Police are investigating if alcohol was a factor in the crash, or maybe Al-Qaeda. Continuing with SUV news in the United States. Keep in mind that the SUV attack in Scotland, nobody was killed. That's how bad they are. They plot terrorist attacks where nobody gets killed. And here in the States, we're just killing people left and right just by driving the damn things around the streets. Maybe a good tactic for Al-Qaeda is just to supply all of its members with SUVs and give them plenty of gas. And eventually they'll kill a whole lot of people. And it satisfies the suicide mentality as well, because odds are you'll get killed too by rolling over at a moment's notice. No one was injured on Thursday morning when a driver accidentally stepped on the gas instead of the brake, landing his SUV in the front window of the Bargain Browser on Memorial Boulevard in Springfield. I don't know which Springfield this is. Might as well be where the Simpsons live. I don't know. We just printed this out, and it's wherever the RC Times is. I don't know if that's Royal Crown Colour Times or what, but anyway, Rodney Thomas, 75 years old, was not injured in the incident that left the browser office's front window and door, as well as some brick, damaged. Not bricks, brick. One brick was damaged in this whole thing, and no charges were filed. So that was sort of a feel-good accident. Nobody was hurt except for the one brick. A sport utility vehicle ran off the street and smashed into a house early today, today being yesterday, Monday. Yeah, it just ran off the street. The SUVs are just running amok, running into airports, running off into houses into rivers and bargain browsers, you name it. SUVs are out of control. This one smashed into the house, clipped the corner of the house at 118th Street and Corrington Avenue in Kansas City. Continued along the house, causing damage to the siding. The homeowner was not injured, but he was plenty pissed off. A witness saw two men who appeared to be in their late teens or early 20s fleeing the wreckage. I mean, come on, even the guys in Scotland didn't try to flee. They continued with whatever project they were involved in, waving their arms, burning themselves, shouting Allah, and whatever else, trying to get into the terminal. These nitwits, though, they crash into a house and they don't finish the job. They run away. And you know what, guys? Your car has license plates, so it's not too hard to figure out who you are. Anyway, police said the driver lost control on a curve in the street in front of the house and may have been speeding. The SUV had not been reported stolen, so maybe it did belong to them. The story goes on with more detail than you need to know. Officers tried without success to find the SUV owner. Officers then requested a tow truck haul the wrecked SUV to the city's tow lot. I mean, you know, I could have lived without that bit of information, but fine. Kansas City, I guess they report more thoroughly. The driver of an SUV has been arrested after police said he ran into four bicyclists riding single file along Colorado Route 93 near El Dorado Springs. And that actually happened today. The cyclists were hit about 7:20 a.m. heading southbound, about a mile past Marshall Road, according to the Colorado State Patrol. All four were taken to Boulder Community Hospital for examination. Their injuries were not believed to be serious. But still, more damage than Scotland. Investigators are looking into the possibility the driver was intoxicated because witnesses said he weaved to the right and hit the cyclist riding along the narrow shoulder. The driver's name has not been released. I don't know why. You should release the names of people who do stupid things like this. People riding single file on a narrow shoulder, and that's not good enough. SUV must have all possible parts of the road to itself. And finally, a man was killed late Monday in what Roseville police... Where the hell is Roseville? Does anybody know? I guess it doesn't matter. It could be anywhere. It could be Roseville, USA, right? Roseville police are calling this one of the strangest vehicle accidents they've ever seen. All right, so we know Roseville is nowhere around here because they probably would have seen it. Authorities said the incident involving a sport utility vehicle took place at around 9 p.m. at the corner of Pleasant Grove Boulevard and Roseville Parkway. Police said all four people in the SUV appeared to be drunk and that a passenger in the back seat was horsing around with a passenger in the front seat. Somehow, the passenger in the back seat slid over the front seat, fell out the window, and was run over by one of the rear wheels of the SUV. He died at a local hospital. The driver of the SUV was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving. So there you go, folks. SUVs in the news. Once again, the United States comes out way ahead, even when terrorists get involved. Yeah, so, okay, what do you make of that? What do you make of that going on over there? All the craziness in the UK. These botched attempts at creating mass chaos and death and whatever else I imagine that they're into. But boy, I first started hearing the news that they found a car with a bunch of fuel, petrol as they call it. And I'm like, okay, you know, most cars have that anyway. There has to be a little bit more to this story, and sure enough, after a while, it came out that there was, in fact, a lot more to it. This car apparently had been in an accident, and the fool who was driving it just ran away again. And the thing is, in London, you're always on camera, and unfortunately, this is going to be one of those instances where that's considered a good thing, where everybody's going to say, you know what, if it wasn't for the cameras, we never would have found these people. And in this case, it might actually be true. So we're going to be demanding cameras, demanding them to be every place. Because otherwise, how can we possibly stay safe? But I got to say, you know, if this is the extent of the terror plots against the West, if this is it, I think we're pretty safe as it is. I mean, look at what's been going on in Iraq and throughout the Mideast. You would think that people would be so angry at the U.S. and the U.K. becoming involved in all this that they'd be blowing things up every single day. I think they've been very restrained. I cannot believe there have not been more people coming over or already living here who have chosen to express themselves in that way. And I'm pleased as punch that they haven't. But if this represents the kind of terror plots that will unfold, I think we're really not in too much danger. Keep in mind, we had the July 7th incidents 2 years ago in London. That was where the bombs went off on the trains and on the bus. And then a couple of weeks later, we had some copycat people, or maybe it was part of a different cell. And not one of their devices was able to go off. They messed up four different times. This particular case, you have at least three instances. You have two cars in London. You have the SUV at Glasgow Airport. Well, these guys clearly don't have a clue as to what they're doing. And they all fail. And now, because so many of them have been captured, all this intelligence is being gathered. So, I'm surprised. I'm surprised it hasn't been worse, and I don't know if we're as in danger as we want to tell ourselves. But, of course, that's not going to mean anything. The security levels will be raised. More police will be in the streets. Cameras will be installed every place. The Transportation Security Administration will deploy special teams to help enhance transit system security in eight cities in the United States over the July 4th holiday. The teams, consisting of canine explosive detection units, air marshals, transportation inspectors, and behavior detection officers. Now, that's the one that really scares me. The behavior detection officer. It sounds like something out of a Ray Bradbury novel. Anyway, you can meet these guys. They'll be in New York, Washington, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Houston, and San Francisco. Now, these are the VIPR teams, V-I-P-R, that everyone's talking about. Stands for Visual Intermodal Protection and Response. VIPR teams. They're going to be focusing on ground transportation systems as well as airports in some of these cities. An official with the NYPD said there is no general or specific threat to the city. The VIPR team's deployment is a precautionary move. We're not aware of a potential threat. TSA officials said there is no link between the deployment and the recent terrorist activity in the United Kingdom, and no specific intelligence regarding any imminent attacks on the eight cities. Of course, that's what they would say regardless, right? When would they ever say anything different? The VIPR teams were created after the 2004 train bombings in Madrid, Spain. Those killed 191 people. VIPR teams work with local security and law enforcement officials to supplement existing security resources, providing deterrent presence and detection capabilities, introducing an element of unpredictability to disrupt potential terrorist planning activities. It's sort of like terrorism for terrorists. Yeah, same basic techniques. And today, over in England, more fun, London's Heathrow Airport was closed for a time. They've since reopened after a security scare led to the cancellation of more than 100 flights. Thousands of passengers were evacuated from Terminal 4 on Tuesday after a suspect bag was found shortly before midday. The police also ordered the evacuation of the departure lounge so that all passengers could be searched a second time. They actually closed part of JFK a couple of days ago because of a suspect package. And when you read about what happened, you know exactly how it played out. It was what they called a discarded bottle of cologne that they found in a bag. And that resulted in the entire terminal being evacuated because they thought it could be something evil. I don't know what a bottle of cologne could possibly be, standing by itself. But the way it played out was so obvious. Somebody was bringing cologne onto an airplane, was told, you can't bring liquids onto the airplane. Everybody knows that now. Because liquids can be used for bad things. Not that there's been a single instance of anything happening. And chemists have been saying this is really not that easy to do. You have to pretty much have a chem lab at your disposal and a lot of time. So somebody was told they couldn't bring their cologne onto the airplane, and what they must have done was put it on the ground, hoping that somebody would happen upon it and say, hey, free cologne. It's kind of what you do if you wind up with a couple of tickets to a Broadway show you can't use, and you don't feel like scalping them. So you just sort of lay them down on the sidewalk. I've done this. But if it had been cologne, then I'd get in trouble for putting the cologne down on the ground. So this is the kind of madness we now must live with. But you want to talk about madness. The real madness in this whole UK thing is the people who are involved in it. Doctors. Apparently doctors were behind this. Yeah, real doctors. And I got to say, you know, a message to Michael Moore here, All right. Yeah, you can criticize the health care in this country all you want. But at least our doctors aren't the ones blowing up airports and things like that. Our health care system does not allow for that kind of thing. Yeah, your national health over there in England, it has its disadvantages, doesn't it? Doctors are trying to kill you. Trying to blow things up and drive cars places they're not supposed to go. Engage in high-speed chases? No, we don't have that here. Sure, we have to pay money. We have to pay out-of-pocket. In fact, that's the name of my insurance company, out-of-pocket insurance. But we're happy to do so if it keeps us safe. Yeah. Doctors, can you believe this? None of them have been charged, only detained, questioned, or sought, but British and Australian media are reporting it is no coincidence that six of those detained or questioned so far in the probe share the same profession. Investigators believe a network of up to a dozen medics from the Middle East were sent to infiltrate Britain's National Health Service as a cover for terrorist operations. Meanwhile, British tabloids have been having a field day with this, splashing the face of Jordanian physician Mohammed Asha across their websites, along with headlines such as Dr. Evil, Doctor, Father, Husband, Bomb Suspect. That's not that good. They could do better than that. Reports that most of those being questioned or detained by authorities are in the medical profession, and by some accounts, trainees or employees of the National Health Service, prompted Britain's Daily Mirror tabloid to publish the headline, Docs of War. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, Asha and his 27-year-old wife were arrested Saturday in what police called a dramatic highway raid. If they call it a dramatic highway raid, it must be dramatic. That took place in northern England hours after two men drove the SUV full of explosives and gas canisters into Scotland's Glasgow airport. Asha's neighbors in Newcastle-under-Lyme in North Staffordshire said another... You can't just have one name of your town. You have to have two. Newcastle-under-Lyme in North Staffordshire. And they have to be such long names. They said another doctor of South Asian descent was part of the probe. Forensic teams were searching that unnamed doctor's home about 2 miles from Asha's house. But it is unclear if this physician or his wife are in police custody. So this story continues to just get more and more interesting. All right. Meanwhile, over in this country, we're pardoning people that took part in political scandals. President Bush said today he would not rule out a pardon, a full pardon, that is, for former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby after sparing him a 30-month prison sentence on Monday. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how, wow, somebody was actually sentenced to prison who was part of the Bush administration scandal. Of course, he was not the actual person who was leaking names, but he did a pretty good job of covering it up. And I knew something was up. I knew something was up when he did not take the stand in his own defense. He was expected to, and then he didn't. Kind of tells you that a deal of some sort has been worked out. You keep your mouth shut, we'll take care of you. And that's what happened. He was taken care of. Now, he still has a $250,000 fine. I imagine he might find $250,000 under his pillow one day. And that will go away, too. Then 2 years probation. He can probably do that standing on his head. But Bush said, I felt like the jury verdict ought to stand. I felt like some of the punishments that the judge determined were adequate should stand, but I felt that the 30-month sentencing was severe. I made a judgment. I consider judgment, and I believe it's the right decision to make in this case. I stand by it. As for the future, I rule nothing in and nothing out. Unreal. So nobody gets in trouble, nobody gets sent away for any of the bad things that have happened in the Bush administration. The thing that really gets me about this is that this guy was working for Cheney, and Bush actually said he doesn't know how Cheney feels on the issue. He actually expects us to believe that. That he didn't talk to Cheney and get him to insist that this guy be spared. Okay, and what else has been going on in this country over the past week? All right, I guess we have to talk about this, the iPhone. If any of you out there actually waited online for the iPhone, please tune away, all right? Because I don't want to have any kind of connection to you. I don't want to know that you've turned a switch and somehow my voice is coming through something that's in your house. If you're that much of a nincompoop that you actually waste your time to wait for this, this is the Paris Hilton of phones, okay? Yeah, there, I've said it. And you've bought into it. You've bought into it by making a fool of yourself, standing in line, and not only that, paying a bloody fortune for the thing. Not only to buy it, but to keep it. It's got all kinds of restrictions. You can only use AT&T. It's a GSM phone. Brilliant. A GSM phone that can only use one company. Yeah, good luck traveling with that thing. What's the point of having a GSM phone if you can't switch the SIM? So, yeah, you're stuck with AT&T. The internet connectivity is of the slow kind. You know, I don't really care about that because I think a phone should be a phone, not an iPod and not a computer terminal where you always are checking mail. Because I got to tell you, the people I hang out with who are constantly checking their mail in the middle of conversations, it's bad enough. It's bad enough people feel the need to pick up their phone. But now, every little bit of spam, they have to be distracted. Thank God for cell phone jammers. Really. Makes us at least appear to be civilized for a little while. Look at this article. Apple's dropped the details on its iPhone price plans, bumping the Uber phone's total price up to I never heard this word before, stonking. Oh, because it comes from the UK, of course. $3,515. It comes from the UK. Why are they talking in dollars? I don't know. No sooner had we wondered aloud over Apple's iPhone price plans that the Big A gushed forth some details on prospective owners' required monthly outlay. Ranging from around $60 per month to $100, there are three options to choose from, packing 450, 900, and 1,350 minutes. All tariffs come with unlimited data for surfing the web and firing off emails, as well as visual voicemail, 200 text messages, and unlimited mobile-to-mobile calls. You want the ultimate iPhone package? That'll be $599 for an 8-gig model, plus $100 a month for 2 years, totaling $2,400, as well as an extra $20 each month for unlimited texts. And there's still a $36 activation fee on top of all that. Unbelievable. And this is what I heard. This has not yet been verified, at least not to me, but I heard this. These things can only be recharged about 300 or so times. And after that, you have to send it in. You can't just replace the battery. You have to send it in to be serviced. What kind of phone does that? Pretty unbelievable. Okay, so that's the bit of stupidity from this country. Got a lot of nice mail, and I want to encourage people to send us mail. It doesn't have to be nice. You can send us nasty mail as well. otw@2600.com. That's our email address. What do we got here? A lot of people responded to last week's show concerning the bird calls. Never thought I'd do a show about bird calls or birds in general. And it wasn't the whole show, it was just pretty much a part of it, but still. It was more of a reaction than I expected. I've talked about really, really important matters. And this is an important matter, but I mean really urgent matters, and expected more of it, more feedback from that. But the birds, yeah, that got people thinking. Lewis from Rego Park writes in, I can't help you identify the birds you recorded, but I thought you might be interested in this book. From Amazon, it's on Amazon, called Bird Songs. It's a hardcover book, and features illustrations of 250 species of birds, along with digital recordings of their songs and calls. Somehow this book has an audio device on it, and you can actually listen to various birds. I haven't actually looked and listened to it myself, but it seems really neat. Thanks, Lewis, for writing in. And letting us know about that. By the way, nobody has been able to figure out the bird that is hanging out and waking me up every morning. And, like I said last week, I have no problem with this. It's perfectly okay with me. He can do this. It's fine. But here's what he sounds like, and hopefully somebody can write in, otw@2600.com, and tell me what kind of call this is, because I honestly don't know, and even Google can't seem to help me scan bird calls. Not yet, anyway. Take a listen. Sounds like a tape being played backwards or something. But, yeah, that's a little tiny bird that makes all that noise. And if anybody knows what it is, please let me know. I'm just curious. I'd like to know what we have in this area. Dear Emmanuel, your off-the-wall show yesterday was incredible. I was enlightened by your tone and approach when you expressed your opinions on net radio license fees, the problem of mass media, health care, environmental problems, the beauty and tragedy of the birds and our loss of them, and everything else you talked about. When the Beatles song Free as a Bird played at the end, I was moved to tears. I had never heard it before. I'm a listener of more than 2 years, and I think yesterday's show was the most original and moving off-the-wall show I've ever heard. You're making a difference. Thanks, Joey, for that very nice letter. And I think that's what kind of drives us around here, is hearing from people, hearing from listeners, knowing that we do make a difference. And let us know if we do good, if we do bad, by writing to us. And our particular case, OTW at 2600.com, the radio station, WUSB.FM is the website. Dear Emmanuel, just wanted to say thanks for making the entire Hope DVD set available during the fundraiser. While I do realize that supporting great radio like WUSB is necessary to keep great programs like Off the Wall on the air, I have to tell you that the DVD collection is unbelievable. Over 70 hours, full video and audio of all the talks. Even if you attended the conference, which I did not, there is no way you could have heard all this material due to concurrent scheduling. And also, even if it wasn't concurrent scheduling, you just had to sleep at some point. Anyway, thanks to all you and all the 2600 family for everything that you have done. Signed, Matt. And thank you, Matt, for your letter. Dear Off the Wall, your juxtaposition between She Who Needs Not Be Named and Michael Moore on last week's Off the Wall reminded me of a recent Daily Show. Michael was on and related that he was to appear on the Larry King show, but was bumped at the last minute so they could instead put on that recently released Hotel Heiress. Yeah, that's true. Last Wednesday, he was supposed to be on and got bumped. In all fairness, though, they did put him on Friday, which was the opening day for Sicko, so I think it was actually better that he be on that day. Plus, he could also comment on the craziness going on in England that had just happened recently on that day. Again, if you have not seen Sicko, I urge that you go out and see it. It is an incredible film. A number of my friends have seen it in the last week, and they so far agree that, wow, this is incredible. And the cynics, the critics, the people that like to take apart everything that Michael Moore does and say, well, you know, you actually stood in this room after that scene, yet that scene appeared before this one, and nitpicking all sorts of things. Even they are kind of quiet on this because these are hard facts to dispute. That the health care in this country is sick, it's expensive, it's insane. I mean, we've all experienced this. The way doctors treat us. I mean, okay, they're not going around trying to kill us. Not like they are in England, at least. But they do treat us as if we're less than human. I can think of so many instances, and this doesn't even relate to the quality of healthcare. Quality of healthcare is something else, where doctors pretty much just want to get you in and out of there as quickly as possible. Full checkup, 5 minutes. Just a conversation. That's really all they want to do. But there have been cases where there has been a billing dispute because you get billed twice for something, or they try and charge your insurance company, and the insurance company says they filled out the form wrong. They're trying to claim for something that you're not supposed to get, and you call them to tell them that you got to fill the form out right. And they say, we don't talk about billing issues. You have to talk to your insurance company about that. We don't talk to patients about billing things. Another time I had a doctor cancel because he wasn't going to be there that whole week or the week afterwards. Obviously, he had planned a vacation after he made an appointment. I can't do that. I can't go to a doctor and say, hey, you know what? I'm going on vacation this week, so you're going to have to wait. Doctors do that all the time. Another time they call to say, yeah, the doctor's not going to be available. He has a flight at the time of your appointment, meaning he scheduled an airplane flight after he made the appointment to go someplace else. So can you come in 3 hours early? Yeah, that's nice and convenient. Try that with a doctor. And then the irony of that particular thing, that particular situation, was they kept me waiting 2 hours. Yeah. How often do they keep you waiting for hours, even when you're there at the right time? And if you try showing up a couple of hours late, well, you won't get away with that, I can tell you. Okay, so that's my mini rant on the medical system here in this country. All right, let's see if we can fit a couple more letters in, and then we're out of here. Finn is up next, brand new show. It's going to be interesting. And just more of WUSB history being made. Dear Manuel, my name is Ben. I'm writing in response to a comment you made on the June 19th show about how in our culture, counterculture, I guess is what you're saying. People seem to not be honest. I wholeheartedly agree with you and just wanted to share the sentiment. I'm often confused when people ask, how are you? And if I respond with anything that's not fine, how are you? People essentially walk away. Another factor of this is when you try to ask someone's opinion on something and you have to decode something or everything they're saying because they're too scared to say anything negative. Yeah, it's tough. I really enjoy Off the Wall and Off the Hook. And as someone from Long Island and New Hyde Park, it's nice to hear a legend in the field who happens to be so close to home. Keep up the good work. Peace. Thank you, Ben. A legend. Think about that. That's what these walls inside this place will do to you. Turn you into a legend. Wow, well, you give me something to think about for the next week. No Off the Hook tomorrow, but Off the Wall, we'll be back again next week at this time. Well, signing off next week at this time. Try an hour earlier next week. Coming up on this radio station, starting at midnight, is the Reggae-Thon. And we'll also be having a Blues-A-Thon. Did I say it right? Coming up in a couple of weeks. So WUSB is a place to listen to all sorts of interesting things, music-wise, talk-wise, and listener-wise. Off the Wall, Manuel Goldstein, have yourselves a good night. Stay awake. Let us know if you see anything interesting. OTW at 2600.com. Have a good night.